I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
Everything was going really well. The plane was not crowded. It was, you know, it was comfortable, and everything went well. And as we were nearing LAX, the pilot came on over the intercom there, the loudspeaker on the plane, telling us that because of fog, that we would be going into a holding pattern over LAX, which meant out over the valley and out over the ocean, and, you know, and we would be going into a holding pattern until they were able to reach the point where the fog would lift enough that we could land. And so we are flying, and we're flying, and we're flying, and we're flying. And after about 45 minutes, the pilot came on over the intercom again, and he said, I hate to tell you this, but the fog has not cleared sufficiently, and so we are being diverted to Ontario, and we will be landing there, and then we'll be waiting there until we can then go back to LAX. Well, about 5 hours later, we landed in LAX, and I got off the plane, and I went to the counter, and I had a message there at the counter that there was a room there for me at the Holiday Inn, that the man who had come to meet me at the plane, he didn't know, he just knew that the plane was late, and then it had been diverted, and he wasn't sure what was what, so they just went over, and they got a room, and they said, somebody will be there to pick you up in the morning. I said, okay. Holding patterns. Holding patterns. We've all experienced them in our lives. We are just in the process of coming out of a holding pattern now that has affected the entire country. Matter of fact, it's affected the entire world. Holding pattern. And I, for one, am really glad that we're coming out of it, and we're probably not coming out of it as fast as I would like, but we're probably coming out of it faster than some others would like. They would like for just to keep on going like that. Back to the plane, there was a lady sitting next to me in the plane, and during the time that we were holding in the air, found out that she was a CEO with Exxon Oil. And she leaned over to me and she said, you know, this is just so predictable. She says, it feels like my entire life has just been one big holding pattern. I said, well, I'm sure that there's a lot of people that know exactly how you feel. Some of our holding patterns are the result of somebody else's activities. They're out of our control. We can't do anything about them. Other people fail to act on things that we need to have happen in order for us to be able to do the things that we need to do. And we can't. And some of our holding patterns are our own fault. We're the ones that were responsible. Maybe we resist growth or we resist development. And sometimes it's the fear of the unknown. We're just not sure what's coming. And so we're a little hesitant. We're a little afraid of that. Sometimes we're afraid of a new challenge. I'm not sure I want to accept that challenge. Sometimes it's because we're just too comfortable in our routines. Any of you ever get that way? I got this good routine going on, and it's just really comfortable, and I don't want anything to happen to jar me out of it. I just want to stay where I'm at, doing what I'm doing. There's some holding patterns that just really feel good. Sometimes disappointments strike, and they And they make us put all of our dreams and all of our hopes and our plans on hold. And it might be physical, or it might be material, or it might be emotional. But it's also true in our spiritual lives. I can't count the number of people over the years that have said, "Pastor, I don't understand it. Why is it taking me so long to become mature in Christ? Why is it that I keep battling the same things over and over and over again? I feel like my spiritual life is just one big holding pattern." See, the struggles of life are often our holding patterns. And listen, we can't blame God for our holding patterns. But we can be certain that God can and will use those holding patterns in our life, and the things that create them, He can and will use those for our growth if we will let Him. He'll do that. In every single one of them, there is always a deeper walk to be learned, a deeper walk to be discovered. I'm glad that the Lord loves me as I am. I'm glad that the Lord loves me where I am. But there have been times in my life when I have been gladderer. That's my own word. Gladderer. It's G-L-A-D-E-R-E-R. I'm really, really glad. I'm gladderer that the Lord hasn't left me where I was and as I was. Aren't you? You see, that's the message that Moses had at the start of the Israelites 40 years in the wilderness. And again at the end. I mean, talk about a holding pattern. A journey that should have taken them about 11 days. Well, about 11 days. Took them 40 years. Now, that's a holding pattern. That's a holding pattern. Exodus. 19th chapter of Exodus. Beginning at the first verse. So on the third new moon, which means on the first day of the third month, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they set out to Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "This shall you say to the house of Jacob. Tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words you shall speak to the people of Israel." And if you turn over to the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and beginning at the 9th verse, it says, "But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage. He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness, and he encircled him, and he cared for him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. And like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings and catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him." I somehow feel like in verses 11 and 12 there of chapter 32, we are given a biblical answer for how to get out of life's holding patterns. And I say biblical answer because it's important that we find biblical answers. You know, there's all kinds of answers as to how to get out of holding patterns in our lives. We can go to almost any bookstore. We can find in the how-to book section books on how to get out of this and how to do that. And how, you know. But we need to find a biblical answer to how to get out of life's holding patterns. And I believe that in this passage, there are three crucial things that it tells us about God. Three crucial things. It tells us that God is a disturber, and he is a developer, and he is a deliverer. See, I don't have a thing in your bulletin with all you take notes, so you can just take them on the back of the bulletin. There's a place there. A disturber, a developer, and a deliverer. First of all, consider the Lord's disturbance. Scripture says, as the eagle stirs up its nest, eaglets, like so many of God's creatures, his wonderful creations, are dependent upon their parents for just about everything. You know, feeding, protection, encouragement, all those things that are necessary. They, like us, were dependent upon our parents for those things. But there comes a time in the life of every eaglet when it's not okay just to stay in the nest and let mom and dad bring food to them. I love to feed the birds. I've got bird feeders hanging all over the place. I don't know how many there are. There's just a bunch of them. But right outside our family room window, where we spend a lot of our time, there's a feeder sitting right there on the fence post. And we're at that time of the year when there are some young birds that are starting to show up. And I noticed the other morning that the sparrows and the finches, they were gathering, and the lazuli bunting, and they were all gathering around there trying to get to that. And there was a mom finch, and she was sitting there on the feeder, and right next to her was a young one, just barely flying. And the young one is sitting there going, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. You know, it's just squeaking away. It wanted to be fed. And mom is sitting there, and she's eating, and she will lean over and she'll feed them. And it amazed me, because here's this baby sitting in the food. But rather than just lean over and peck it and eat it, he said, feed me, feed me, feed me. Well, that's the way those eaglets are. But there comes a point when that eaglet must learn how to fly on its own. It must begin to take on the responsibility of being a grown-up. But the nest is so comfortable. It's kind of like ours are sometimes. The nest is so comfortable. And so mom does the things that she needs to do. As an eagle stirs up its nest. Mom, first of all, she begins to take out the feathers that had been put in there and tosses them over the side. Then she begins to take out the soft grasses and everything that made it comfortable, and she throws those over the side. And that's still not enough. So now she starts reaching down, and she starts pulling the twigs and the branches out. Not so that they're throwing those, just pulling them out so they're sticking up in the nest, so that it's not a comfortable place to sit anymore. As the eagle stirs up its nest, and she stirs up the branches, and she makes staying there less comfortable. And I'm forced to ask the question, does the Lord ever disturb your nest? Lord, ever make it uncomfortable where you're at and say, you know, I've really got some growth out here for you, but you can't just stay there sitting in the comfortable nest. You need to begin to make some headway. And he will make things uncomfortable for us, and he will create a dissatisfaction in our lives with things as they are, because he wants them to be better. And he'll often use scripture, or he'll use a message to make us uncomfortable and to challenge us, or he'll open doors that we've tried to keep closed, or he'll close doors that we've tried to keep open. Sometimes we think, you know, if I could just ever get everything worked out in my life, if I could just sort out everything and have it all done, if I could ever finish my to-do list, I'd be fine. Life would be great, and I could just relax and be comfortable. Lord says, no, we got work to do. And so the Lord is constantly stirring up our nests, especially our spiritual nest. And the scripture talks about stirrings. It says he stirred Samson, and he stirred Ezra, and he stirred Joel. And I think probably Saul's nest got stirred up pretty good on that road to Damascus when he had everything all worked out in his mind and he was all set to persecute the church, and he's going down the road to Damascus and all of a sudden the Lord stirred his nest real good. Just completely turned him around. But you see, the Lord doesn't just disturb us. He develops us. The Word says that the eagle flutters over its young. One of the translations says the eagle hovers over its young. There's another translation that says the eagle broods over its young. And it's the same word as that used in Genesis for God brooding over creation. And he developed it. He was making it something that it hadn't been before. And so the eagle is doing everything that's required to get that young to fly, to get that young eaglet to do what it was born to do. And she'll push the eaglet to the edge of the nest. And then she'll come around and she'll flutter in front of it. She'll flap there in the air so the eaglet can see her using her wings and understand, this is what I'm supposed to do. And mom is showing me. And he looks back, and the nest is not comfortable, but that's a long way down out there. And that eaglet sits there and looks at mom and looks down and looks back at the nest, and she's still not too sure about this whole process. And so mom's getting not too sure about this process either, so she will come around behind the eaglet, and she will just give it a nudge and push it out of the nest. Oh, that sounds so cruel, but she's developing in that eaglet the ability to fly. And as that eaglet is trying desperately, it's because mom has showed it how. Probably all of us are sitting on the edge of a nest somewhere, or have been at some point in time, and we really didn't want to go back, but we really didn't want to go forward yet. And the father came up and said, okay, this is how I want you to do it. And he shows us, and we look back and we look forward. I don't know. And so he'll just kind of nudge us out of the nest. Yeah. Yeah. What kind of leap of faith has God asked you to take? What kind of steps does he want you to try to make? Every once in a while, I find I have to ask myself, am I too settled in my nest? I got a comfortable nest, folks. I don't know about you, but I got a comfortable nest. God's been so good to me. I live in a wonderful place. The country around me here is just, it's beautiful. You've lived here all your life. I hope you haven't taken it for granted. Spectacular country. I can sit there on our porch and I can hear the stream down there and watch the birds, listen to the birds. Sometimes my nest gets real, real comfortable and I just don't want to go anywhere. Don't want to do anything. And so sometimes my nest needs to be stirred up a little bit. Needs to pull some of the soft feathers out, and needs to be pull some of the sticks up so that I need to get busy. Sometimes I'm on the edge of the nest being pushed out, and I say, Lord, did you really need to push me quite that hard? He says, well, I wouldn't have needed to if you had just stepped out. Sometimes I find myself in flight training. I'm learning how to use those wings that God gave me. But you see, the Lord is not only the disturber, and he's not only the developer, he's the deliverer. I want us to go back to that nest. Mama's just pushed that little one out. Now, I want you with your imagination, I want you to try to picture that eaglet. If you can, try to even imagine how that eaglet is feeling when all of a sudden it's been in this nice, secure, safe nest. Everything's been comfortable, and now it's gotten a little less comfortable, and now I've been sitting on the edge of the nest, and then all of a sudden I am falling through the air. And yeah, I know, Mom showed me, and I'm flapping my wings, but it's not accomplishing the same purpose as when she did. And I'm in a panic. And all of a sudden, the scripture says, Mom swoops underneath that eaglet and catches it under her wings. And sometimes those talons of hers that were used to kill prey, to bring to the nest, sometimes those talons can reach out gently and catch that eaglet and take it back and sit it on a safe place. See, that's why Moses could say at the end of his life, in the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, he could say, there is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It's all a part of his role as the deliverer. You see, in the fullness of time, when we were falling helplessly, Jesus came. He came with arms outstretched on the cross, and he said, I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to make it all new. I'm here to bring healing and wholeness to your life. I'm here to teach you how to fly. I'm here so that you can soar on wings like eagles. That's why Paul could say in Jude, in the 24th verse of Jude, he said, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling. And actually, in the Amplified version, it says, who is able to keep you from stumbling or slipping or falling and present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory in triumphant joy and exultation with unspeakable and ecstatic delight. To the only wise God, our Savior, through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forevermore. So how can we get out of life's holding patterns? First of all, trust that his stirrings of our nest are for our good. They are. Risk stepping off the edge of a nest that at one point in time was comfortable, but now it no longer is because it's been stirred up. And ask the Lord, what's your flight plan for me? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How high do you want me to soar with you? Father, you have plans for us. You have plans for every single one of us. You've told us that. And we want to be in the middle of those plans. And sometimes it's not comfortable. And sometimes it pushes us and it stretches us. And sometimes we feel like we're falling helplessly and our wings are flapping, but nothing's happening. And then you're there and you reach your arms underneath us and you lift us up and you set us on a safe place. And you say, now let's try this again. And he just keeps doing it until we fly. Father, we just ask that today, if there's somebody that you've been stirring up their nest, the Lord, you would give them the trust to step out in faith, to step off the edge of that nest, knowing that you will be there both to develop and to deliver them. And teach us, Lord, how to fly. in your name. Amen. Amen. You're invited to go into the fellowship hall. There are refreshments there. If you're not quite comfortable enough with that yet, that's okay. But we're going to be in there, and if you'd like to, if there's anything you'd like to pray about, please see myself or one of the elders. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. Enjoy the day. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.